This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Ninja cleavage.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. Hang on, let me try again. Which has been extended to...
No,
Steve, I need you to look at this picture, please.
David, I'm not
Steve,
looking at
it. Steve, I need you to look at it.
Oh, no!
Steve, I need you to look at it.
Okay,
isn't it terrifying?
This is... It will be posted on the Facebook and everything.
Is the one on the left Tyrion Lannister?
The one on the left is like dying or melting.
Well, you know, I'm a little more worried about the fact that it looks like she has rickets in her leg.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
They don't know.
I don't know what?
Her.
They were better then.
Did I just walk into, like, Eeyore Impersonators Anonymous?
No, it's Anonymous. We're all Eeyore.
Well, it's better than me coming into the conversation where everybody's hating on Steve-O.
That's true.
Let's go back to that.
Had that conversation.
I don't think that conversation's ever happened.
I feel uncomfortable if we're not talking about how terrible I am.
You're like, all right, what's going on?
We have succeeded. Oh, well, good thing we're live now and we don't have to worry about introducing the show or anything.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know, right?
The only people still listening have Stockholm Syndrome by proxy just from listening to all the terrible
things. That's no excuse. You do the station call out.
Thank you for listening to Stockholm Syndrome After Dark, where we read fanfiction and make you listen.
It's better.
This is Friday Night Fanfiction. Tonight we are joined by some of our favorite, all-time favorite guests. Favorite. OA and Dia. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Does he say that every week?
Probably doesn't say our name every week, since we're right here every week.
What, they're our favorite guests? No, he definitely doesn't say that.
He definitely says your names every week.
Yes. And then I get disappointed because it's not you.
Yeah, speaking of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, very nice work. You guys have been around since sort of the inception of the originating podcast for what we're doing right now. So you've helped birth this abortive mass of fanfiction tissue.
I'm sorry.
How do you feel about that?
Like casting a charm spell. Foof.
Charm spell.
God.
Still one of my favorite ones to listen to. It's still so good.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, tonight we have
sound clip. Can you push a button and it just does it?
No, but I will have to make a soundboard that does that in the near future. Also joining us are regulars Val, Roy, and Logan. David is on the moon.
I am very regular, yes. Thank
she,
you.
She uses Metamucil to stay regular. You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Tonight is crossover night. Isn't that something? We've got...
Oh, man, this is like one of the things I've been looking forward to for the longest time. But before we begin, of course, let's remember that this is a mature podcast, rated M. Fortunately, our team of 500 audio engineers has spent the last decade producing a safe for work, safe for children version that you can listen to in the comfort of your own home with your, you know, fun, big, expensive stereo speakers. So, presented by Nerdy Show, please enjoy this 2-hour long sine wave. Take it away.
Hi, David.
Hi.
And series regular.
Speaking of sine waves, I'm going to be drinking out of my Magfest glass, which has a nice square wave on it.
Very nice.
Woo-hoo. So not speaking of sine waves whatsoever.
We're starting off tonight with Dr. Gregory House versus Edward Elric.
This is five pages too long.
Dia, you get
this
to go first.
This is a crossover fan fiction. It's pretty subtle crossover, though. You might not notice it.
Do I have to read the disclaimer?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
hey kids, wanna read some fanfiction?
Disclaimer: I do not own this anime / manga, nor the characters from it. I do not make any money from the writing of this story.
Anime/manga, Dr. Gregory House.
Real quick, I did not know that Dr. Gregory House, there was a house manga. He's like, Watashi wa Lupus.
I am Lupus.
I'll take a bite.
I am nauseous.
I'm curious, has anyone ever actually made money from fan fiction?
Yes, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, 50 Shades of Grey.
Also, there's a lot of...
how all of you said that.
People on Amazon who write...
that's true.
Also, I'm certain that people in lately... I'm sure people in the last couple of years have started up Patreons to fuel their fanfiction writing.
Wow.
It happened. The dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream of fanfiction. All right. Dr. Gregory House versus Edward Elric. Author's note: the inspiration for this little mongrel came from watching Dr. House interact with kids in a couple of episodes. And it made me wonder, how would he get along with Edward Elric? Badly, I at first surmised. House would snap something like, "Get out of my way, you maladjusted little troll." And Ed would alchemize a real snake on House's cane. But then again, maybe this would happen. Disclaimer. You already disclaimed.
Yep.
You can't once.
I don't know either Full Metal Alchemist nor the character of Dr. Gregory.
No. It's not character.
Character. Good call. Nor the character of Dr. Gregory House. I just want to torture some of the characters for a bit. Awkward. Warning. Some clinical talk about naughty bits. No yaoi. No, none. Not even if you squint.
I'm squinting right now.
I'm confused. Clinical talk. Like, we're... Specific medical verbiage.
Are we talking about comics next level of medical verbiage?
I don't know. We'll see.
He's probably going to say it's crabs or it's vagina dentata.
I'm still squinting.
You know, the clinical term, naughty bits.
Yep, that's true.
I hope that...
That's how you tell they're a real doctor.
Yep, when they refer to naughty bits.
Sir, right. I'm afraid you've got an infection in your naughty bits.
And then it's got this beta. Like, what... Is this a
beta reader?
Like their copy editors.
Really? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, the beta reader, the one that corrects mistakes and things like that.
Understood.
Because people actually need that.
I've never heard of that term before, so that's a new one for me. Dr. Gregory House was not a happy camper. After the opening of a stable transdimensional gate about a year ago, he'd come to, a mistress on a doctor swap for a few months. He was tired of the smiling, usually, but occasionally frowning, faces of his team, and he was looking forward to first-hand experience of the medical protocols of a new world at Central Hospital. House was now beginning to regret it. His first few days had been spent giving physical examinations to members of the military. That Thursday had started out so promisingly, with Second Lieutenant... Jean Havoc, who came a cigarette in his mouth and some dirty jokes to tell. By the time the physical was done, he had been glad to see the back of Havoc, who had bitterly complained about his superior, a Colonel Mustang, who had a habit of stealing Havoc's girlfriends. Next to try his patience was Major Alec Armstrong, who spoke in a booming voice about everything and nothing. When he asked Armstrong to turn his head and cough, the wretched man started yapping about his superior and elegant ability to do just that, passed down through my family for generations. Most annoying were these damn pink sparkles, which had made it hard to see what he was examining. Apparently.
This could go straight over the head of anyone who hasn't watched Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
I've seen it, but a long time ago.
It's basically Armstrong whenever he talks, most of the time when he says more than a sentence, he usually gets full...
Anime sparkles.
I was going to say... It's like the yellowish background with the pink sparkles all over him, and he's like super buff guy, and he usually doesn't have a shirt on anymore at that point.
Any strikes a pose.
Yes.
Well, he takes his shirt off, specifically.
And he's got, like, he's bald, but he's got, like, this glorious English mustache, like the twirl one.
Okay, I'm vaguely remembering him now. When House shone a light into Armstrong's right ear, he swore up and down to himself that he could see clear to the other side. He popped a few more Vicodin just before Master Sergeant Kane Fury came in. And right after that, House wished he had a fifth of scotch to wash them down with. While trying to listen to Fury's lungs with a stethoscope, House growled, "I'm gonna rename you Checkers, because you jump every time I make a move." It was a first for House. A patient so nervous, his teeth literally chattered.
Next is going to be Roy.
Whoever is clicking in the back, please stop.
Andrew is clicking through his porn.
Oh, geez. All the butts.
It was actually deer, because you didn't hear it when it started.
That's enough.
Hey, is one of your friend Steve's horses in the room? I hear a lot of whinnying.
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on, it's starting up again.
Got it running, ladies.
Oh, somebody started the Marge simulator.
That's Laza.
All right, Roy, go ahead.
Fortunately, it was time for lunch after that, and House rediscovered the food at the Central Hospital's commissary?
Commissary is pretty accurate.
Yep. Misery.
It's making me come miserable.
Yeah,
misery was like institutional food all over, just this side of inedible, and it hadn't improved since Monday. The afternoon wasn't any better, and the names and face singular of the soldiers and a few state alchemists who came in became just a blur to House. Which wasn't entirely a bad thing. By 5:40 p.m., his fourth long day from the ninth circle of hell was almost over, but he had one more patient to examine. House picked up the slim manila folder and read off the name. Whatever House's voice is, I don't care to impersonate. Major Edward Elric, the Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, so my name is Dr. House. I'm actually British, but no one really knows that.
He seriously is?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Right here, replied a silky voice. House lowered the folder and looked at the figure before him. Hey, kid, pediatrics is one floor down. When you go out, tell Elric to get his ass in here pronto. I am Elric, the voice snarled.
That is just a voice I could listen to all goddamn night.
Yep.
The boy snarled with the voice of Vic Mignogna as told by me. You know, that singular voice that Vic Mignogna has. He looked too young, just a shade of a 5 feet tall, and dressed in always completely black clothing. Black boots, black fishnets, black...
Black eyeliner.
Which is black fishnets.
Black garter.
He was topped black clothing, which was topped by a long red coat. And what was with those oversized boots? House opened the folder and looked at the first page. Elric, Edward P. Title, The Full Metal Alchemist, age 15. 15? What the hell, House snarked. Since when has the military been recruiting brats in grade school? Elric shrugged. I'm precocious. Yeah, whatever. House wasn't in the mood for child prodigies today. Take your precocious little ass over behind that screen and strip to your skivvies.
You sounds like a drill sergeant.
What?
The boy goggled at House.
Googled. House it's supposed to be Googled.
Yeah, I think so.
What? That's not even a thing.
He googled skibbies.
Yeah.
House pinched the bridge of his nose. It's slang for underwear. You wear boxers or briefs. The boy sneered at him just before ducking behind the screen.
Boxers, of course! Only perverts like Colonel Bastard wear briefs.
House made a face. Nah. Best not to tell the kid I'm a briefs man.
Wait. Oh, I thought those were quotes for a second. I thought he accidentally let his inner monologue slip out his mouth.
Nope.
Your inside voice is kind of loud today, Dr. House. uneven footsteps came from behind the screen, and House was startled by the metal attachments on the kid's right arm and leg. I told you to strip to your skivvies, he growled, and that includes the armor you're wearing.
This is an armor, it's auto mail, prosthetic limbs. I had an accident a few years ago.
With my mom's vacuum cleaner.
Line,
pretty much.
Alright, I'm up next. Interesting! The boy stood somewhat patiently while House turned his metal arm and wrists left and right, and flexed the wrist and fingers. This feels rather heavy. Doesn't it bother you knowing this might have stunted your growth? It was the wrong thing to say as Elric jerked back and his face flushed a dull red. See what you call your shirt that can be crushed by the taste of scope of you old fart? That was the hardest thing I've ever had to say.
Congratulations.
I'm trying to actually separate the words here.
For the listeners at home, that outburst was a single word.
Yes. Yep. Who are you calling so short he could be crushed by a stethoscope, you old fart, is what it says.
Oh, the hard mode's coming up here.
Yep.
Round two.
House was insulted by the reference to his age, and he snapped back. Who are you calling so old he can remember when dirt was invented, you maladjusted whippersnapper?
When
yes!
Wow, nice work.
Yeah.
Yeah, drink for success.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
Cheers.
Breathing heavily, both Doctor and Patient glared at each other through narrowed eyes.
Yeah, let's have everyone try and do that.
Edward didn't know what to make of House. Not only was he not frightened by his angry outburst, he had responded with one of his own. And House didn't know what to make of Edward, who acted far older than his purported 15 years. The clock
doesn't. He's acting far younger.
Yeah, he's acting like
he's like a child.
The clock in the examining room dinged 6 o'clock. So House sighed and said, "Look, kid. Neither of us want to be here, and personally, I'd rather be relaxing with a cold beer and some hot jazz. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably rather be at home enjoying milk and cookies, so do me a favor, keep your trap shut and cooperate, and you'll be out of here in 20 minutes tops." The boy growled in annoyance. Grrr. But he eventually nodded his head and let House get on with the physical. So I imagine he nodded his head while still growling.
Okay, here's probably like all of the clinical talk.
Yep.
First, he took a blood sample, then his pulse. He listened to Ed's heart and lungs and put a tongue depressor in his mouth and told him to say, "Ah," and checked his eyes. Like all the other physicals that day, the kid checked out in A1 condition, which was pretty terrible. But there was one more test to do before he could call it quits. After he reached into a box next to him, House snapped on the umpteenth pair of... Wow, that's a legit word. Google did not try to correct it. Umpteenth is in the dictionary.
Yes,
it is.
I did not know that umpteenth is obviously a word.
I didn't know that.
Have some culture.
Dude, it's when you don't like the umpteenth.
I will have culture. I have culture, man. Umpteenth pair of latex gloves and directed, "Okay, kid, I saved the best for last. Drop your boxers and bend over.
Prepare for anal insertion."
Huh? What? Edward turned pale. "I have to examine your prostate digitally."
All right, now I'm imagining Batman.
"I'm going to touch your prostate, Robin."
"I have to examine your prostate digitally."
David reads next.
"It's not about what I do, but what prostate I examine that defines me."
What does that mean?
House, it means exactly what I said it means.
House smiled in a way Edward didn't like.
"It means I get to stick a finger up your ass and cop a feel. Yeah, I know. Oh, joy. The fun things we doctors get to do to you poor bastards."
Is that the definition of copping a feel?
I don't know.
Get ready, here it comes.
That's like, yeah, I guess it's copping a feel. Edward was glaring again. "Damn it, I knew it! All you adults are perverts!"
"Only the ones who enjoy it, kid."
House's smile turned into a smirk.
"Now drop the boxers and bend over. I'll give you a lollipop after I'm done."
Too many commas for what there is actually in there.
Golden eyes drilled into dark blue ones for a moment. Then Edward heaved a large sigh, and a pair of blue boxers pooled on the floor. The boy sighed again and bent over the examining table. Edward's scream could be heard all the way to the end of the hall.
And then another sigh, because he just sighs with every breath.
Anyways, up next is David, followed by Andrew. "I need to go get another drink." Oh, wait.
Also, can you
no,
take
this
the
is the last section.
The dog's bone away from the dog.
Yes. You forgot? Oh, God. She's going to be shitting bone for a week. I'll be back.
Mr. David, please continue.
"It is my turn, eh? Well then, me. House ticked off the last item on his checklist. Done.
Once the kid had finished dressing, he'd been grumbling under his breath since the digital exam was over. He could get out of here and explore what passed for nightlife in Central. He hoped Jazz had been the robot from Transformers. Been invited in this world, but invented. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Sorry, Val.
All right. Well,
sorry.
Invented in this world. But if not, he would just have to introduce it. And soap operas, too. Why are the quotes asterisks?
No, they're thoughts.
Brain thoughts.
The head, oh, are the they? Head brain mind thoughts.
Steve, in post, make sure you put echo filters on all of these. Under a full head of wounded pride, Edward stomped from behind the screen and in a fit of teenage pique.
What do I tell Al about this? No, wait, what am I saying? I can't tell Al. It'll scare him so badly he'll never want to get his body back. Damn it, if Mustang finds out, I'll never hear the end of this.
Why is Edward now Mickey Mouse?
That's not Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse sounds like this, huh?
can you read the rest of it as Mickey Mouse?
Sure. Yeah. He stopped briefly to give House the famous Elric glare. Don't give me that look, kid. It's part of being male. Women get yeast infections, guys get prostate exams, and by the way, your barn door open. Edward looked down and made a strangled sound, then pointedly turned his back on House and zipped up his leather trousers while House finished his statement. You're wound too tight, kid. So take my advice and play with yourself on a regular basis. Ew. You'll sleep better after a good ya-ying? Ya-ya-ing?
Ya-ya-ing.
Ya-ya-ing. A good ya-ya-ing of a brotherhood every now and then. Edward didn't answer, but he grabbed the doorknob and yanked the door open with rather more force than he needed before he stalked through. But instead of slamming the door, Edward paused and looked back at House, an evil little smirk crawling across his face.
Hey, doctor!
Absorbed in the task of putting away his medical instruments, House House looked up as he snapped, yeah, what?
Are you examining Colonel Mustang tomorrow?
Yeah, why do you ask? Edward's smirk grew wider, and House thought he finally looked up. This kid is not normal, because children do not smirk at adults like that.
Of course they do.
Oh, nothing. Really? Just go make sure he takes off his gloves before you put on yours.
You put yours on.
Oh, fuck, what?
You are terrible, Dave.
Just make sure he takes off his gloves before you put on yours.
You put yours on.
Same thing.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuckity fuck fuck.
Just make sure he takes off his gloves before you put yours on.
Yay!
Yay!
And with that parting shot, Edward was gone, slamming the door so hard the thin walls of the room shook, and leaving Dr. Gregory House to wonder just what he meant. Author's note.
There now. That wasn't so bad, was it? At the very least, I hope it put a smile on your face. Flames will be used to light my charcoal grill.
The end.
Sasuke. Thank you very much, Sasuke.
All right. You're well, Andrew
moving
gets to
right along.
Andrew gets to start us off with our next wonderful, wonderful fic. Andrew, do you like the Holocaust?
Can't say I'm.
No, wait.
I don't know, Steve. Do you like the Holocaust?
It's a hard question. Okay, let me rephrase it to broach this. How do you feel about Super Saiyan?
Super Saiyans are sweet.
Okay.
For some reason, we had two different versions of that. Oh, okay, never mind.
This is Until the End of Time by Gopher-chan, which is an Anne Frank Dragon Ball Z crossover.
All
right. Sweet.
You know, I've never read this one, but I have read an Anne Frank Sonic the Hedgehog crossover.
Oh, jeez. No, this is...
Gotta go fast to Auschwitz.
So it's like Sonic 2006, but with Anne Frank in it. So he's like, don't worry about the Nazis, and if you have time to worry, just run.
No, it was like, don't worry about the Nazis, and then she realized that and took off her headband to reveal her hedgehog spikes, and then she ran away from the Nazis.
Oh, God.
All right, wow. So Andrew, please take us away.
Until the End of Time by Gopher-chan. Original source, missing. I'm Gopher-chan, and this is my first piece of fanfiction. It was my brother's idea, an Anne Frank DBZ crossover. I am big fans.
My brother's 72 years old.
That Dragon Ball Z is pretty righteous. That part where the blonde-haired, blue-eyed bastard won was pretty all right in my book. Hitler!
Man, I'm totally imagining this person having posters of Andrake and Goku, like, next to each other above his bed.
Beautiful.
Anne sighed as she sat in her room staring at her wall. She just finished writing in her diary and had nothing to do. Life was boring in the secret annex, but it was better than the alternative. It was all right talking to Peter and Margaret, but they were both such quiet people, unlike the always active Anne.
Isn't it Margot?
Yeah, it's Margot.
Fine. We'll let it go.
It's Margot. You're all wrong.
No, Margot.
Were you there?
Were you?
All of a sudden, a flash of light appeared in the room. Pew! Anne jumped back, stifling a scream. Before she could run out the closed door, she noticed that the person who appeared in the flash was not a Nazi officer, but someone who she had never seen before because she had seen every Nazi officer. His were very strange, and his hair was a spiky style that was totally new to her. She stood against the wall, wary of the stranger, but he walked towards her and smiled, extending a hand. "My name is Goku," the mysterious stranger said, and nervously put her hand in his. He bent down and kissed it softly, then let go. And blushed, feeling something she had never felt before go off inside her.
Oh no, her appendix burst!
Well, that was easy.
yeah, right? Just saying, man, he's got it going on. "My name is Anne," she replied quietly. "I'm sorry for what just happened," Goku told her.
That is Goku.
"I'm sorry for what just happened." I don't know how Goku sounds. So.
No, it's fine, really? But I love how he's not apologizing for her orgasm.
Yeah.
Yep.
"I'm sorry for what just happened," Goku told her, "but I was caught in a time portal and deposited here.
Your Goku sounds like first form Cell.
It's good. It's fine. Go roll it.
All the same voice actor for budget reasons.
No, I think Cell was not voiced by Sean Schimmel. Sean Schimmel was the also ironically a German descendant being, in the story. Good times. Anyway, Sean Schimmel was the voice of Goku. Just give him Vegeta's voice. You're good at that.
Oh, I don't know if I can even. It's not like. It's not
just
right.
Pretend like you've got throat cancer.
"But I was caught in a time portal and and deposited here. My power cells will recharge soon, but until then, I'm stuck here."
You know what? It's Brian Drummond's Vegeta, but I'll take it.
Oh my God, David, let him read.
Anne had no idea what the handsome visitor was talking about, but she played along. "Well, sir," she said, "you may stay in my room as long as you like." Anne blushed again as she said this and giggled slightly.
Wait, didn't Anne's room have, like, just chamber pots and one candle and a book to write in? Is that the only thing?
So Goku looks around and says, "Nah, I'm good, see ya, fuckers." And blasts out of her room. And goes and incinerates all of the Nazis.
Goku looked around and then sat on the bed. "Thank you for the invitation. I'll be sure to repay you for it soon."
Bye.
Anne did not understand what he meant by that. However, when he spoke, she felt a warmth deep inside of her.
Ben Saiyans, get it done!
Yeah,
seriously.
She sat by him on the bed, staring at the man's beautiful eyes. Finally, she could stand it no longer. Anne leaned over and kissed the stranger on the cheek, then pulled back quickly, not sure of what she had done. "I'm sorry," she said as she stumbled to find the right words. The visitor smirked. "No, that's quite all right," he replied with a smile, putting one arm around her. "You know, you're a very beautiful girl, but I, well..." Anne looked at him, troubled. "What's the matter?" she said, with a sweet smile. Goku looked nervous. I'm already married." Anne pulled away from him abruptly. "No!" she said loudly, almost in tears. I'm sorry, he replied. Anne was furious. "Nothing ever goes right," she cried out. "I have to go now. Oh, I have to go now. My power cells have recharged," said Goku.
That was quick. I thought they would, like, be out until they could at least bone, but...
Yeah, apparently not.
Well, you know, Super Saiyans, they go pretty fast.
And tears by now, staring at the wall so she shouldn't see Goku's face. He smiled a sad smile and disappeared in another flash. Out of Anne's life forever. And never forgot him, though. Not until the end of time.
Pretty light. Next up is Logan.
You know that bit of Family Guy where like they make that joke about saying the name of the body of work in the body of work? Yeah, it's just that. Every time a fanfiction author brings up the title in their figure, I'm just like, you said it!
Yeah.
Does an angel also get its wings?
No, they lose them.
I also love the fact that Goku was like,
a Saiyan
really
gets his blonde hair.
Oh, God.
I get my blonde hair for my Saiyan pride.
Goku was trying to be really polite, but then he's just like, nope, power cells are recharged. See ya, fucker.
Also, great reading, Andrew. Thank you.
Does anybody offhand remember how old Anne Frank was?
She was 14.
She was 14.
All right.
She just hit puberty. Hitler robbed her of her womanhood.
Like hell, she had just hit puberty at 14.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Learn some things, son.
She was 12. I'm sorry, I forgot.
1 month. Well, it didn't feel like a month to Anne Frank, a Jew hiding from the Nazis.
In hiding.
Jew in hiding from the Nazis. It seemed like a year. 1 month since the fateful encounter with the mysterious man from another world, who she only knew as Goku. The handsome stranger had stepped through time and into her life, then disappeared without a trace. Anne was almost sure that they'd never meet again, even though not one day passed without her dreaming of him. Little did she know, however, that their lives were tied by the unbreakable red string of fate. It was another boring day in the secret annex. Anne sat on the bed of her room, writing in her diary. It never occurred to her, however, that this entry would be her last. As she wrote in the quiet attic, there was a loud noise from downstairs. Her heart jumped with both fear and excitement. Was it them? The Nazis? Or could it be him? She had no idea whether to run downstairs or to hide. That decision, however, was made for her. The door flew open, and a tall soldier was visible in the doorway, glaring at her.
Did you order some cookies?
The cries of her family members and friends were tuned out as Anne only thought of one thing. She stood up and followed the soldier out of her room, down the stairs, and into the back of a truck. So this is it, she said quietly to herself. I'll never see him, my one true love, ever again.
Bob Barker.
And all those years of hiding, they were for naught. Then, Anne realized that she left her precious diary up in her room. She broke loose from the officer and made a dash back into the shop. When he removed a gun from his holster and fired a shot in her direction, Anne fell to the floor.
Oh man, this is just like the continuity with, what is it called? Reality!
I know, right?
Yep.
What, which true love was that, though? The one who she met for 10 seconds and he did nothing but give her an orgasm? I guess that would be enough.
I guess that's... Mm-hmm. I think that's the literal definition of true love.
Anne lay on the floor, feeling searing pain run through her leg, where the bullet had met its mark. The Gestapo...
As opposed to run through her leg, you know, 10 meters above where the... 10 meters?
Wow.
Whoa.
Never mind, that joke went nowhere.
Yeah, that was a bad stop. The Gestapo officer menacingly moved towards her, grinning, when all of a sudden there was a blinding flash of light, causing the officer to shield his eyes. A huge cloud of smoke appeared next to Anne, blocking her from the soldier's vision. When the smoke cleared, he was in for quite a surprise. There was Goku, holding Anne in his arms, standing next to a huge metal capsule. Goku, cried Anne, you came back for me. Goku smiled. Anything for you, my dear. He said, our love will never be lost. Not until the end of time. The Gestapo officer turned tail and ran, but Goku was too quick for him. After laying Anne on the concrete, he dashed towards the Nazi and knocked him to the ground, unconscious with only one blow. Nazi scum, muttered Goku as he spit on his enemy's limp body, then returned to Anne.
Goku doesn't even know what the Nazis are.
I have something for you, Goku said as he removed a small bean from his pocket.
That's a euphemism!
No, it's not. What on earth is this? Asked Anne. Goku smiled. Remember how ignorant she was to what was everyday life to him. A senzu bean, he said. Just eat it and it will cure your leg.
And then she slobbed on his knob.
Anne followed his instruction and popped the bean into her mouth. Anne, as the wound on her calf magically healed. Now come on, commanded Goku. We've got some Nazi ass to kick. Anne jumped on the mysterious Saiyan's back as he launched off into the sky.
Because he was apparently like a dragon that she could just ride on.
Next time on Anne Frank Z. Dia, you're up.
I'm waiting for the point where he says enough of, you know, like the terms that he's familiar with, and she realizes, wait a second, you're Japanese. I hate you forever. And, like, shoots him with magic Saiyan killing gun.
You just ruined the ending. Just said.
Spoilers!
I know.
After only a few moments, the two of them arrived in Berlin. Tanks were parading down the street as Adolf Hitler himself stood on a platform overlooking it all. Stay here, Goku said. That's the best I'm getting. Dropping Anne in a shaded area under a tree. He then flew straight upwards. Nope, straight towards the parade of tanks. Fist outstretched, screaming as loud as he could. The soldiers below scattered in terror. While the tanks tried to aim their cannons at him, he was too quick and nimble for them, however, and opened the hatch of a nearby panzer, then headed inside. After dispatching of the soldiers in control of the war machine, he took the wheel. He fired round after round into the crowds of Nazi soldiers, occasionally firing at the other tanks.
Suddenly, war machine turned up.
After only minutes, there was nothing but a cloud of dust and corpses.
Cloud? Wow!
Really?
It's like the aftermath of a Popeye fight.
Yeah. Goku emerged.
Emerged?
Yes, Goku emerged from the tank's hatch, smiling now that he had done his duty.
What? Yes, as an American soldier, he had done his duty, hasn't he?
Yep. When all the dust cleared, there were only two people remaining on the parade ground. Goku, the Saiyan hero, and Adolf Hitler. The most evil man to ever walk... The most evil man ever to walk the earth.
This Friday on pay-per-view, the showdown in the parade ground.
So wait, was Anne not on the parade ground?
She's in a
tree. She was hiding next to a tree.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's...
Like she has the perfect spot to watch, like, just far enough.
Yeah, she's got the...
She's got the like, hoity-toity... She's got the opera binoculars.
There you go.
Yeah, and also she'll be able to hear everything they're saying naturally.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what the magical speakers are for back in the 1940s.
Yeah, they've got the microphones. Listen here, brother!
Sunday! Anne watched from nearby fearfully as she saw the two men stare at each other for what seemed like hours.
Actually, it was just 4 episodes.
Yeah. Plus, like, a trailer for a movie. Mm-hmm. Her one true love and her ultimate oppressor. It had come down to this. So, Hitler said jovially, you took out all of my men. However...
That needs to be more jovial.
So, you took out all of my men!
Alright. So, you took out all of my men.
So it's Frieza.
However, you aren't gonna defeat me.
Hitler, let's go! 1, 2, 3, 4...
And down onto the street in front of Goku, pulling a chain gun from the ground nearby.
This is fucking Wolfenstein!
Pretty much. Goku quickly
not yet, it ain't.
Behind a ruined tank as Adolf opened fire. The tank made decent cover, but it wasn't long until it would be torn apart by the hail of bullets. Goku had to act. He dashed out from the side of the tank and flew as fast as he could toward Hitler, who had no time to react. He grabbed the chain gun out of his enemy's hands and snapped it over his knee with ease.
That's like something a school teacher would do. You're not playing with this. Snap.
Confiscated.
Hitler stumbled backwards, shocked at the turn of events. Goku smirked, then said, it's come down to this. You and me, fighting like men. If you admit defeat now, I'll kill you rather painlessly. Goku had the definite advantage. Or so it seemed. Hitler burst into a laugh as Goku looked on quizzically. The mustachioed man slowly rose into the air as his brown hair and pencil mustache turned in a blonde color. Oh god.
No!
And his brown eyes turned blue.
Oh, my staff is getting to half-mast.
Goku reeled in horror.
Hitler continued laughing and finally said, "Goku, you came here expecting to find a madman, but instead, you found a god."
He's not Bison.
"And become a Super Saiyan."
How does he know Goku's name?
You know, anime.
Well, he has read the Dragon Ball manga, so, you know, he knows.
Got it.
Understood.
Fresh. He's like, "I am a huge fan."
Wow. Next time on Dragon Ball Z, will Hitler be defeated? Find out in the next episode, Hitler Defeated.
All right. And I'm in awe, not sure what was going on. At first, it seemed like her lover would win the battle, but now she was not so sure. Goku now
sees
a woman, and it was for good reason. Hitler continued to speak. "Goku, can't you see? I've reached a power level 10 times anything you've ever achieved. Your fate is sealed, weakling."
Yes, Hitler, the legendary Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
"Even though the battle seemed unwinnable, I can't even say the regular words, jeez. Goku charged in, screaming at the top of his lungs. Rock was deflected off of Hitler's rock-hard body."
I thought it said cock.
He must have trained with Tony Hort.
And it didn't happen. I was disappointed.
Hitler's cock-hard body.
Yes.
"My cock-hard body is going to get you, Goku."
Yeah, and what happened to, like, SSG4?
Hitler waited for Goku to tire himself out, then raised his fist and punched Goku. And one punch was enough. Goku was knocked across the street into a large propaganda poster of Hitler, thudding to the cold, hard ground. Hitler laughed, thinking that victory was in his hands at last. Goku, however, was not ready to give up. Bruised and battered, he rose from the ground, limping in Hitler's direction. The Nazi leader laughed. "You still want to fight? Don't you know when to give up, boy? You can hardly walk, and you expect to beat me? Conqueror of Europe?" Goku ignored Adolf's taunts as he continued to stumble his way forward. Finally, the two arch rivals were standing face.
That's not what arch rival is.
Yeah.
You gotta have one fight.
Plus, they escalated very quickly.
There's like been like two punches in this entire thing.
Yep.
So it's like a Dragon Ball Z episode.
Yeah.
Well, no. They haven't screaming enough.
No, that's a Dragon Ball Z season.
Okay.
Face to face.
Goku stared Hitler into the eye and then "This is for love!" and flew up into the sky, his hair turning blonde, his eyes blue, and an aura of power radiating from him. Hitler looked on in horror at Goku. He had made the ultimate achievement. He had become super ultra power Saiyan. Goku made a cup shape with his hands, aiming at him.
Cup?
Apparently. Spelted out the word.
Would you say Goku cupped his hands together when you could say it that way?
I know, right?
All right, we're all doing this together. Ready?
Kamehameha.
Hadouken.
Yep.
All right.
It's funny because that's not the actual thing.
Kamehameha, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, do you need Kamehameha?
It's a terrible shirt idea. We should do it.
No.
As a beam of pure energy shot at his enemy, disintegrating the Nazi leader's body, Goku then collapsed to the ground in a heap, exhausted from the fight, from the punch. 2 years later, Anne and Goku had finally reached the date of their wedding. After the battle, Anne and Goku destroyed the time machine and took a boat to Australia. Why Australia?
Why Australia?
Why a boat?
Maybe they meant Austria.
Yeah. And why a boat? Like, they could just fly there.
They changed their names and lived new lives, ready to start over.
I'd like to actually announce that I've been lying this whole time. My name is Son Goku.
The truth comes out.
I am the super ultra power Saiyan who defeated Hitler in 1940, whenever.
Yep.
And Elvis is still alive!
With the Super Saiyan, bro.
The two young people looked into each other's eyes as they kissed, and the Reverend pronounced them man and wife.
She's still 12!
it seemed, and was at no, she's 14. It said 2 years later.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, she's just starting puberty.
And was at peace. And they would always be together.
And definitely didn't die.
Until the end of time! God!
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Alright, next up is something that Roy has asked us to do.
Alright. Stop.
Wait, please direct your attention to the first in what will be a surprisingly long series, I'm sure.
The glitch.
This is Naruto, colon, the Hypnozapper. Who was this one written by? Because I know it was written by a different... This one was written by Hazard Gallantmon. I think that's awesome. A Digimon reference, maybe.
It's
yeah.
It's gotta be something.
I guess it starts with me, doesn't it? This is my submission to Jim Ryu's second hypnosis contest, and this is kind of a crossover idea with my version of a hypno-gun idea. I don't own Final Fantasy VI, X2, or Naruto. Naruto, colon,
Final Fantasy X2? That's... What? Oh, no!
Right now, we find ourselves in some kind of workshop where we find a teen girl with blonde hair and braids, green
teen
eyes
girl
and scarves.
Yes.
And wearing an outfit that consists of a scarf, yellow bikini top, gray-brown shorts, and shoes, working on something that looks like a futuristic ray gun with a strange glowing sphere inside.
Yes, the shoes girl are says, working on the ray gun.
They should have stopped the
girl says, with a growl, that rotten brother of mine, I'll show him. The girl yells out excitedly, finished, Riku, you are a genius. The girl, Riku, holds up the gun and she yells out excitedly, the Riku Hypno Zapper Mark 1 is completed. Just then, a male voice calls out, Riku, what are darn well doing down there? Wow. Yep. Riku yelps out and she says, nervously, just rebuilding old Machina, pops. Is that Machina, right?
Yes, it's Machina.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they would pronounce it differently in Final Fantasy for some reason. The male voice calls out, get up here, Riku. We've got work to do. Riku says, with a snort, that papa of mine. Riku says, looking at the ray gun, I hate this, like, the formatting of the way...
I know.
How they talk. I can't wait to use it on that rotten brother of mine. Which is really weird, considering what the ray gun actually does.
And also, the name of her brother is Brother.
Yep.
That's convenient.
Literally.
Yes, it's Brother. That's why it's a capital B.
Yeah, that's why
it's
capitalized every time.
Riku then puts the ray gun by some other device which she accidentally turns it on and... Jesus Christ. Why? I'm just baffled by the writing. Not even just any mistakes or anything. In which she accidentally turns it on, and after Riku leaves, the device seems to shimmer and create some kind of energy field. Surrounds the blaster. Surrounds the blaster in which the ray gun and the device fades away. Meanwhile, in another reality, a short time afterwards, within another reality, we find the device and the ray gun appear in the sky, and the device turns off, in which it and the ray gun fall down on the head of a 18-year-old teen adult with splaggy blonde hair, blue eyes, and wearing a orange and black outfit with black open-toed sandals.
Oh my god! I'm getting flashbacks
back here again.
No, I'm getting flashbacks both to My Immortal and to Fuda Hard with the run-on sentences. So it's both!
Yep.
I just hate the way that the sentence changes direction.
It's the best of both worlds.
Like, in which is going to be my most hated soundbite from out of this whole fic, I can tell. The teen yells out, what the heck? The teen then pick up the device and ray gun, and he asks, perplexed, what's this? Some kind of toy that a kid drop? But it hit me on my head, and that means it came from the air. But why would a kid... ... The teen then looks at the device, and he asks, perplexed, Alped Hypno Zapper made by the great Riku? Riku? Hypno Zapper? This has got to be kind of kid's toy. Naruto looks around and he says, with a shrug, but there is ... Just then a female voice calls out, Naruto! The teen male yelps as he looks to see a teen adult female of... What? Female of his age with short pink hair. So is it a teen or an adult?
Teen adult.
Or is...
It's a teen
but
adult.
But who is his age?
He is a tween. He is a tween.
It says teen adult female, and then it's only teen male, so...
His age, with short pink hair, jade green eyes, and wearing red vest, pink elbow bat, black gloves, black shorts, under a pink skirt, black open-toed boots, black eyeliner, white foundation, black
Shut
eyeshadow.
Up! Oh my god!
And a My Chemical Romance pair of underwear.
I'm going to hit you! You're in Australia, and I'm still going to hit you!
Well, how about I go over there and hit you, and you pay for my flight there? And
wait, wait. Steve, are you going to take a boat and change your name?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, see you in 2 years. Naruto says, surprise, Sakura-chan! The girl, Sakura, tells Naruto... Sells Naruto to her friends. The format of, like, oh, a character appears, and then they do some stuff, and then someone else says their name, and then the author admits that that's what their name is. That's going to annoy me as well.
Said the anomalous man from down under. Hey, Roy! Said Logan, running off screen with a halibut.
The girl, Sakura, tells Naruto, annoyed, where were you at the meeting? Naruto tells Sakura, with a nervous tone, look, I'm not like Kakashi-sensei, Sakura-chan. I have an excuse. You see, Konohamaru came up and told me about his most successful C-rank mission to date, and I tried to get him to stop, ... Meanwhile...
Sakura asks, rolling her eyes.
No, whatever. Asks. Why? How did you turn sass to asks?
Oh. I would like to ask permission to not drink anymore, but I know that's not going to happen.
Well, just don't make any more errors.
Sakura says, rolling her eyes,
whatever, Naruto.
Sakura notices the stuff in Naruto's hands, and she asks,
what's that?
Naruto says with a plain tone, just some kind of kid's toy that landed on my head.
No, you should do the voice for the abridge.
No.
From the abridge.
No.
Like the smoker.
No.
Oh, you no. suck.
Sakura asks plainly, it does look like one of those toy guns, but this place is far from the playground. Natsuro says with a shrug, I don't know. It could be some academy kids fooling around. Sakura says
Sonic.
With a smirk,
like you didn't want...
When?
Yes, I'm aware. I can see it.
No, you can't.
Like you didn't when you an academy student.
Great sentence structure. Huh. Sakura says, stop starting it with blank says. Sakura says with a smirk, like...
You just read...
Son of a bitch!
Great job.
Too much. Naruto yells out, embarrassed,
Sakura-chan!
Sakura gives a giggle when she looks at the ray gun.
Tee-hee-hee.
Sakura says, with a plain tone, I'll bet hypno-zapper. What kind of joke is this? There is no such thing as gun that can hypnotize you. Naruto says, with a smile, all right, drink four with a.
Instead of smilingly, plainly, embarrassedly.
Constipatedly.
Yes.
Yeah. Must be some kind of foreign
toy. Naruto said, sayingly.
Yep.
Some foreign toy or something, Sakura-chan. Sakura says, with a plain tone, I don't know, Naruto. Naruto says, pulling the trigger.
Pullingly.
Wow.
Do it.
This is the worst!
Exactly 42 instances of the word says in this vic. What are the odds?
Only 42?
That is the magic number. Come on, Sakura-chan! Don't tell me that you think that you just pull the trigger and... But then a ray gun sends a multicolored wave right at Sakura. And no matter what she did, she can't look away once the wave hits her, in which her eyes go blank along with her expression. Naruto asks, stunned, Sakura-chan? Sakura-chan! Come, this isn't funny! Sakura-chan! Naruto waves his hand in front of her eyes. Sakura asks emotionlessly, what's your command, Naruto-sama? Naruto yells out, stunned,
whoa! It works! This is a real hypnosis ray gun!
Naruto asks curiously, how do I return Sakura-chan to normal? Just then, letters come onto the screen in a language that Naruto doesn't understand, causing him to groan. Oh, well, he just didn't collect all the primers. Great, what kind of garbage is this? I don't understand a word of this! Naruto plays around with the dials with a set of words, and Naruto says, using the ray gun on Sakura again. That's a weird way to put it. Here goes something! Thing is, the letters on the screen are in a language known as Albed. And translated, it means complete love slave program.
So she built this, a device to control her brother and also programmed in a love slave setting, well, just in case.
For her brother.
In which Riku...
No, it was probably from someone else.
Riku plans to use it on someone that she knew. After a bit, Sakura swirl and then change colors before returning to normal. That was not a sentence. Naruto asks nervously, "Are you okay, Sakura-chan? Are you going to hit me?" Sakura looks at Naruto with a submissive, loving look, and she replies in a seductive, submissive tone, "Why would I do that, my darling Naruto-sama?" Naruto yells out, stunned, "What?" Naruto says, looking at the ray gun, "Darn it, that's not it!" But then Sakura takes the ray gun and tackles him to the ground, causing Naruto to yelp in shock. Sakura tells
Naruto, why would I hit you? I'm going to tackle you to the ground instead.
Sakura tells Naruto, "Stop being a baka, Naruto-sama. I'm your adoring love slave. Haven't you wanted me to come on to like this?" Naruto says nervously, "Yes, Mrs. Big Head. I mean, no. Sakura then attempts to kiss Naruto, but Naruto throws her off, in which he says, "Sakura-chan, I really care and like you, but not like this. Give me that Hypno gun, and we'll go see Granny soon, Tsunade, about this." I was going to say tornado. Who's up next?
Tsunami.
David?
My turn, eh? Okay, here we go. Let's take a big old swig of our adult beverage.
Some adult beverine.
Oh, yes, I love it. Sakura thinks in her mind,
"Jeez, Naruto-sama is a real dunce. I'm now in love."
Shit.
"Jeez, Naruto-sama is a real dunce. I'm now his love slave, and he is going to take it all away. I should change that."
Sakura then looks at the ray gun and then turns a knob in which the words then become pictures in which Sakura thinks,
"This is something I can understand.
But I can't tolerate that voice for much longer."
That's Sakura right. Then turns the original knob to set the gun with a picture of blank-eyed person. Naruto asks nervously while backing away, "Sakura-chan, what are you doing?"
"Yes!"
"Fuck!"
Sakura says with a smile,
"Here you go, Naruto-sama!"
Sakura then holds out the gun as if she is going to give it to Naruto. Naruto says with a smile, "I thought you were going to!" However, twirls the Hypno Ray around and zaps Naruto with causing his expression to become
blank,
in which Sakura giggles at this. Sakura tells Naruto with a giggle,
"I'm sorry, Naruto-sama, but I'm not going to let you real
fucking..."
"I'm not going to let you reel in that big catfish."
"Fuck you, it's a mackerel."
"I'm not going to let you buy a real baka and let this chance go by."
I think it's supposed to be B, but the author's already obviously masturbating to this.
Within Naruto, Kyuubi thinks, "I could help Vagaki."
And Kyuubi's thoughts are a function, apparently.
"I could help Vagaki, but I know the brainwashed bastards."
In the English voice is like Dr. Claw.
"Oh, I could help with the Gaki, but I know that the..." Fuck that shit. That voice is hard on the throat.
Yes, yes.
Like a big old penis.
In the throat.
In the throat. Oh, okay.
"I can't understand you."
I'm hearing bubbles and bubbles and bubbles.
"But I know what the brainwashed banshee is going to do."
Do me one.
"I think I'm going to help the Gaki, but I know what the brainwashed banshee is going to do, and I think that this is for the brats and good."
That's good.
Sakura then sets the Hypno Ray with a picture for a recording, in which Sakura then speaks about Naruto using the gun to create his own harem. He likes to hypnotize girls for his harem, such make Naruto more willing, which she adds that she is fucking this sentence. That she is the head of Naruto's new harem to be. The Hypno Ray also has a domination program, in which adds to her custom Master Maker program, and she zaps
casual quotes. Naruto, with it causing his eyes to swirl and change colors before returning to normal.
What the fuck was that sentence?
Yeah, what the fuck was that paragraph?
Yeah,
what the fuck is this story?
What was that paragraph either?
Why is this also written in present tense?
Okay, it's easy to understand what's happening. You know, the basics of what's happening. Sakura is hypnotizing Naruto to want to hypnotize other people. She's a stupid roundabout way of doing it.
This is like the worst possible. One, she wants to fuck Sasuke. Two, she's into snake men, so Sasuke. And three, Naruto is a smoker, and smokers are completely unattractive to women.
I know, right?
These are the things that I know about women. It's masterful. Anyway, back to the game at hand. When she is done, Sakura asks curiously,
Naruto-sama?
Naruto tells Sakura with a foxy grin, you have been a bad slave, Sakura-chan! Give me the gun!
Oh, that's... No!
Sakura tells Naruto with a grin,
your wish is my command, Naruto-sama!
Sakura gives the hypno-ray back to Naruto, and he pulls it... Or puts it... Fuck! And he puts it as well as the other device into a scroll. Naruto tells Sakura with a foxy smile,
and now, Sakura-chan, it's time for your punishment.
Sakura tells Naruto seductively,
punish me good, Naruto-sama.
Naruto says with a grin,
I will, Sakura-chan, I will.
Much later that day, elsewhere.
Meanwhile, much later that day, elsewhere.
Within the location known as the Namikaze Estates, we find Sakura collapsed onto the bed, her body covered in sweat, and her wrist and feet bound together with rope, in which we also find that she is completely in the nude, and her small chest is expanded into a level that rivals Hinata Hyuga's and Tsunade's chest.
The fuck?
Wait, hold on, I have to say this right. Hinata Hyuga and Tsunade's chest.
Tsunade's, yes.
Naruto found a dial that expanded a female's breast by altering certain neurological
pathways. No, that's what you'd put on a hypno gun.
Yeah, a certain neurological pathway.
This is like the deluxe edition.
Made for breast growth.
Hey, let him read.
Made for breast growth in females. Though it does no damage to the female's body. Naruto asks Sakura, looming over her.
Hang on.
No.
Growth in females.
Through it does no damage to the females' bodies.
I want to use this hypno gun on my brother, so I'm going to put in this thing that will make his breast screw much bigger.
No, but and what about his female bodies?
Can it make dicks bigger?
No, well, only female.
Yeah.
No,
that's he's like, I want to show you the anaconda. Yeah, just watch out for the crabs. Hit him with the shampoo. Naruto asks Sakura, looming over,
how do you feel, Sakura-chan?
That's what he would do, yes.
Sakura says in a breathless tone, oh, my throat.
Wow.
Is it Logan or is it Oe?
It's Oe.
Naruto says with a grin, and your new boobies are ultra sensitive, Sakura.
Boobies?
I'm making you my sexy love slave, and I'm going to touch your boobies.
Sakura, sexy love slave, Naruto's whipped.
Naruto then massages one of Sakura's new breasts, causing her to yell out in
extreme pleasure. New breast, singular.
Yeah. Oh yes, I really like it when I touch your breast.
Naruto tells Sakura, who is your master? Who do you love and serve above all else?
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
It's the Nighttail Fox!
Sakura replies breathlessly,
haha, you, Naruto-sama!
Naruto says with a grin, I guess that will use the Clan Restoration Act and have multiple wives. Sakura tells Naruto,
I would be honored to be the first, Naruto-sama!
This is not the first Naruto fanfic I've read.
Did we transcend into reading the Book of Mormon?
Hang on, no, this is not the first Naruto fanfic I've read that has mentioned like a Clan Restoration Act as a means, as like a plot device for Naruto to have a harem. And that's really weird that that's just a coincidence among all, like, so many Naruto fanfics. Also, there are a lot of Naruto fanfics that are about Naruto wants to rebuild his clan, so he gets every girl in the entire show, manga.
Naruto tells Sakura with a foxy grin, you're the first, Sakura-chan. Naruto then takes off Sakura's restraints and takes out the scroll containing the mysterious sphere and hypno ray gun. Naruto tells Sakura, and you're going to help me with that, Sakura-chan. Sakura replies lovingly,
Anything for you, Naranusawa?
Back in the world of Spira, a good time.
Meanwhile, back in the world of Spira, a good time afterwards.
That's in the world of Spira, where the ray gun came from, Riku is looking everywhere for a hypno ray gun in a complete panic. Riku says, stunned, "Where is it? Where is it? Oh, poopy! What are you doing?" "This is impossible! I just..." Riku then asks, "Wait, wasn't there another invention of mine?" Riku says, tapping her fingers on her chin, "What was that thing called? I know it!" Riku yells out excitedly, "That's it! It was some kind of dimensional transporter that Shinra found, but it..."
So is it an invention of yours, or did you find it?
Yeah.
Both.
And wait, Shinra?
Shinra is the kid, like the prodigy kid that ends up like not knowing half of the question. Like,
it's not Final Fantasy VII.
No, it's like the frigging kid that you never see the face. He's like in a full body suit, and he works. He's on the ship with you in X2.
Spoiler warning, if you get like 100% of the game, it turns out that's actually Naruto.
Apparently Riku is voiced by Tara Strong, so just keep in mind that singular Tara Strong voice as you keep reading.
I don't know, like, what I was doing. I don't even know what I was doing. All right, I'll Riku guess.
Dimensional transporter that Shinra found you.
Reach me at all. Anyway.
Gotta get that word count up.
Yep. Practicing her, as usual, using her skills to hit target dummies, in which she stops for a moment. Just
in which
calls out,
"Tenten-san!"
Tenten looks to see Sakura without her chest expanded coming towards her. Oh, without? So it's like...
Yeah, wait, what?
She can, like...
She can control it, apparently.
Yeah, because it's a feature on the feature on the gun.
And out.
It didn't hurt her body, so yeah.
Sure.
Tenten asks Sakura, "What is it, Sakura?" Sakura tells Tenten,
"Hokage-sama wishes to speak with you and your team right away, huh?"
Tenten says with a nod, "Okay, gotcha." Tenten walks ahead of Sakura with her back turned, in which Sakura takes out the ray gun from a hidden storage seal on her person, and she fires a multicolored beam ray that strikes Tenten in the head. When that beam fades away, Tenten is standing at attention, in which her eyes are completely blank.
Next up is Logan.
In which?
How often?
In which the next person is Logan.
Sandwich.
So you remember, I watched one Naruto episode a while back. It was apparently like he had to do some sort of ramen cook-off for a bunch of dudes. And the idea is clearly stipulated that you had to serve everybody all at once. Otherwise, you lose. But he served everybody in sequence and still won. That's why shonen anime is a bunch of bull boogers.
Bull boogers?
A couple of weeks ago, I just... Because the anime is going back to filler when it's like in the very final stretch of the story, I just went and read the manga to finish it, and I live tweeted it, and it literally does the JRPG thing where the final boss is just, you know, super god.
Yep. Bells, frogs, pictures, Peter Pan, magic cheese, Sephiroth.
And like one of the quotes in that is like someone going, "Naruto, we must not die no matter what." And I'm like, yeah, that's a good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds logical. That strategy. Yo, okay, yo. We're about to fight, like, who's the big terrorist nowadays?
Can we
Kim
let
Jong-un.
Logan read?
Alright, Logs, try not to die, bro.
I will try to let Kim Jong-un not win.
Oh, this
dude,
is
dude, make sure that you don't kill him, but don't let him die.
His father's name. But Naruto got given his mother's name for some reason, so he wouldn't know that he was the son.
Oh,
he wouldn't know that he was
the
son of the most powerful, like, one of the most powerful people in the Leaf Village.
Sakura and Tenten then leap off towards the Namekasa to stay with their ninja speed and agility, in which no one notices the blank look in Tenten's eyes.
In which.
Yep.
Later on that day, inside of Yamanaka's flower shop. Inside of the Yamanaka clan flower shop, we find...
Meanwhile...
Sorry, I was late on that.
Don't do that anymore. We'll find one blue-eyed 18-year-old female with blonde hair tied in ponytail by the name of Ino Yamanaka, daughter of the head of the Yamanaka clan, working in her family's flower shop when she hears the door open in which she looks up to see Sakura walking into the room. Sakura
there
tells,
are 25 instances of in which in this story.
Oh, good.
Hooray.
It feels like it already feels like we've been past that.
I was going to say, it seems like much more.
Sakura tells Ino with a grin, "Hey, Ino pig, working as usual. What, do you have a job?
Yeah, what?
Well, she shouldn't, because being a ninja is supposed to be a job. Like, you get paid.
Enos tells Sakura with a smirk, "No, duh, forehead. What are you doing here?" Sakura asks Eno, "Are your parents around?" Eno asks curiously, "My dad is on a mission with Shikamaru's and Choji's dad, and my mom is out shopping for the day. Why?" Sakura tells Eno nervously, "I need to discuss something with you in private." Eno says, nodding her head in understanding, "Okay, Sakura." Eno goes over to the switch the sign at the door of the shop to close and locks the door, in which she escorts Sakura upstairs. There is a silence for several moments before there is a bright flash of multicolored light from upstairs, but it is so brief that no one sees it.
It was the shortest rave ever.
Dumb.
Yes, nope, sure.
One beat. That's all you need. 420.
Second. Elsewhere in the Leaf Village, later on. In another part of the Leaf Village, we find ourselves in another training area for the Ninja of the Leaf Village. Where we find is that a period or is that a... Okay, that's a spot on my screen. Leaf Village, where we find an 18-year-old teen girl with long, dark blue hair, lavender-gray, pupilless eyes, and wearing a white and violet jacket, deep blue pants, and black open-toed ninja sandals.
And black eyeliner.
No.
Her name is Hinata Hyuga, heir to the Hyuga clan, and she... As she practices her family's taijutsu, or her version of it, she looks to see Sakura coming towards her. Sakura says with a warm smile, "Good morning, Hinata-chan." Hinata says with a smile, "Good morning to you, Sakura-chan." Sakura tells Hinata with a smile, "Training is..."
Stop telling things with a smile, God!
Hinata says with a nod, "Yes, I am, Sakura-chan." Sakura asks shyly, trying to make a better impression to Naruto, Hinata tells Sakura with a blush,
That should have said Sakura asked. Yeah, that should have said Sakura says with a slyly.
Dia, you're up.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Sakura tells Hinata with a grin, "Hinata-chan, you might have admitted that you loved him, but you had to understand that he had tons of stuff in his mind at the time."
Hinata in his mind?
With a nod, "I know, Sakura-chan." Sakura tells Hinata, with a grin, with the, Akatsuki?
Yeah, Akatsuki.
And Madara gone.
Oh, this is said at the end of the manga.
"Make your on him." Hinata says, blushing, "I really don't know. Sonata. Now I'm just going to make them one person." Sakura tells Hinata with a grin, "You know what I mean. Show him that you really want him." Sakura tells Hinata with a grin and poking on Hinata's cleavage. How do you poke on a cleavage?
Oh, here, see.
You just poke into the gap between.
Yeah, it can actually show her because they're both together.
Yeah. Naruto
Hooray.
Is not, but he is still a guy, and a guy wants... Hinata says, blushing madly, "I don't know if I could do that, Sakura-chan." Sakura goes over Hinata's left side and she says, with a smile, "You just need more confidence, Hinata-chan. I'll be able to help you out." Hinata asks curiously, "Really, Sakura-chan?" Sakura says with a nod, "Don't worry, Hinata-chan. You'll be eating out of his palm. Out of the palm of his..." Oh, jeez. Don't worry.
That's not the way around you want it to be. You want it to be him eating out of the palm of your hand.
Yeah,
seriously. Don't worry, Hinata-chan.
Hey, don't worry. You'll be doing whatever he wants soon.
You'll be eating out of the palm of his hand soon. Behind Sakura, we find her left hand. Behind Sakura, we find the left hand. Her left hand behind her back, clutching the hypno ray gun. That doesn't even make sense.
I'm noticing that despite the name of the story, it has not been referred to as the hypno zapper yet.
Agreed. That evening, within the Namakaze household, we find Naruto relaxing on a large love slate.
Love slit.
Yes, love slit. It's perfect.
Oh, man.
Who doesn't want to relax on a large love slave? Alright, we find Naruto relaxing on a large love seat in the living room with Tenten wearing a very skimpy pink maid outfit with green high-heeled shoes and only covers much of the sides and front of her now triple F cup breasts.
Wow!
Pink doesn't go... Pink doesn't...
Back. No, no, this is
pink,
still...
Pink doesn't go with green. Pink doesn't go with green.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I was thinking the same thing, that outfit, man.
Still one sentence. Inu, sporting only a pair of sky blue bunny ears attached to her scalp. Sky blue.
Why would you write it like that? Scalp!
A puffy bunny tail attached to the rear of the thong and a pair of black...
No. Not thong.
What?
Oh.
Not thong.
No, not thong.
Oh. Sky blue thong.
Attached to the rear of the thong and a pair of black high-heeled shoes, leaving her chest exposed, which has expanded to leave it just under Sakura's new breasts. And finally, Hinata, who's wearing a violet harem dancer outfit minus the top, which exposes her now double H cup breasts.
Full stop. Poor girls! That's like...
If you jump off of a building, those are the things that firemen pull out in order to cushion your fall.
Yes, they pull out boobs.
Yep. Sakura is also there, wearing a pink version of the outfit without the top, leaving her own expanded breasts exposed. Tenten is cleaning the love seat while Naruto...
So no support whatsoever.
Ow.
Hey, it doesn't hurt their bodies. Remember that part. It's very important.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt their bodies right now. Tenten is cleaning the love seat while a Naruto shadow clone fondles her breasts. Ino is holding a tray of food with another Naruto shadow clone doing the same thing as a shadow clone with Tenten, Hinata...
Oh, so the shadow clones are the ones holding their breasts up.
Yes. Yeah,
that's lame.
Pretty much. Hinata is dancing a very seductive, erotic dance in front of Naruto. And Sakura is sitting by Naruto, who is finally dressed.
Naruto!
Are the shadow clones, like, even getting anything out of this?
Yes, because when the shadow clones get dissipated, anything that they experience gets, like, brought back to the original user.
Understood. Alright. Naruto tells Ino seductively, "Nice work, Ino-chan." Ino replies enticingly, "I'm glad that you like it, Naruto-sama." Ino moans as Naruto's shadow clone pinches her nipples.
Tell your hamster to shut up!
I can't! He wants to cause himself brain damage by chewing on the cage bars.
That's fine.
Most of the night. I can try to hit him in the nose, but it only lasts, like, 20 seconds. If that. He's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. And there he goes again. So yeah. Naruto tells Hinata lovingly, You dance so divine, Hinata-chan. Hinata tells Naruto, I can't even talk anymore, with an enticing, loving tone. Your words warm my heart, Naruto-sama. I've always wanted to be yours. Naruto motions for Hinata to come closer, and Hinata dances towards In, which when...
Fucking shit! Jesus Christ!
Okay, I did read that correctly.
Yeah, but fuck!
Hang on. Naruto pulls her to him with his free arm and starts to fondle one of her breasts, causing her to moan in pleasure. Naruto asks all of the girls under his thrall, slyly, "So, girls, what have you learned?"
To not write Naruto / Final Fantasy X2 fanfic!
Yeah, wait, where is he? All of this.
She just invented it. I don't know. She'll join the harem too, I guess.
She already did.
Oh. Roy, you're up.
All of the girls reply with submissive tones. Everyone, together. 1, 2, 3. We are your royal love slaves, Naruto Sama.
We love and serve you. My favorite thing to do is fillet your massive fox dog.
And the best game that's ever been made.
And a large
I would really like it if anime was actually better than the formulaic bullshit that we get near in America.
I would really like it if anime would just die.
Well, I don't think anime should die. I mean,
avocados are pretty.
Avocados are good.
We know all of this is written down in the fic.
Saturated fats. And fiber.
Naruto says with a foxy smile, which is a funny entendre because Naruto... No, it's because Naruto has a fox, like,
we're aware of it. We're aware of the jokes.
Yeah, I know. I should explain the joke because it's funny.
Yo, Roy, I'm very glad you cleared up that bit of information for me. I'm so glad. I never would have guessed that Naruto of the Nine-Tailed Fox had a fox spirit living inside of him.
You're welcome, David. I love you.
I love you too. Thanks, buddy.
A foxy smile. That's my girls. Yeah. Just then, a female voice called out, unlike all of the others, Naruto Summer. Everyone looks to see Karin, who has recently joined the ranks of the Leaf Ninja since the end of the war with the Akatsuki, and Riku coming towards them. But Karin is different, with breasts that rival Sakura's new chest, and wearing just an open white lab coat, and only wearing an open white lab coat, and also only wearing a black latex microkini top.
Oh,
and
microkini, you say?
Wait, isn't that a machine that makes you coffee for single serve?
No, that's a cappuccino fresher.
Is it actually just
microkini top and thong along with black high-heeled
Stop
shoes?
Stop calling it a thong!
She has a lot of people around.
So, like, the size of your breasts dictates, like, your rank in Naruto's harem, so...
Well, yes, like, the largest breasts win the prize.
Sakura just is a pair of breasts at this point.
She is a pair of breasts with a small head attached to it.
We're now looking up images of microkinis.
Oh, link those shits in chat.
Please post them.
Google searched it.
I can't do all that, or be bothered to do all that.
Yeah.
Riku yells out. I appreciate you going to bat for me.
Riku yells out excitedly.
Microkinis are like the unsexiest thing in the world, apparently.
Karin tells Naruto with a bow. She bows and that explained everything. We succeeded in the project that you wished for us to complete, Naruto-sama. Naruto tells Karin slyly. I'm very pleased, Karin-chan. You and Riku-chan will be greatly rewarded.
Why does he sound like James from Team Rocket?
Riku says, licking her lips. I can't wait, Master Naruto. Naruto tells Sakura and Hinata. It's been too long since I've watched Pokemon. Hinata-chan, I want to bring your sensei in. She needs help to deal with her recent loss of Asuma-sensei and Sakura-chan. Oh, that should have been a comma there. Asuma-sensei, comma. And Sakura-chan, we can help Granny Tsunade and Shizune-chan. You know what to do.
Granny!
Oh, yeah.
He's a gilf!
It's happening.
That was stupid.
Sakura replies slyly. You know it, Naruto-sama. That's not how anyone would talk. Hinata tells Naruto with an obedient, loving tone. Your wish is my command, Naruto-sama. That seems more like how a love slave would speak. Naruto tells Ino seductively. Ino-chan, I have a real tough mission for you. Why would you say that seductively? Ino replies... Ina replies with a seductive smile. Anything for you, Naruto-sama?
They are hypnotized. Rain.
Naruto responded with a seductive belch.
Meanwhile, seductive weeks later, inside of the Namikaze's compound.
I like seductive weeks.
Today, we find... Oh, it's today now. As opposed to all of the other present tense throughout the rest of the fic.
Yep.
Today, we find Naruto Uzumaki Namikaze, who was using his father's last name, walking down to some kind
of... None of those are real words.
Yeah, father? What the fuck's that?
Father's not a real word. Never has been.
Walking down to some kind of, quote, containment area, unquote, deep within the bowels of the clan compound.
Nice.
Ever since the end in the war of the Akatsuki, Naruto has been going by his father's last name and all of his inheritance, as well as his other last name, his mother's last name. With her?
Apparently
so.
Naruto has also come out as transgender. We kind of glossed over that detail.
Yep.
With her, there is Ino, Hinata, Tenten, Sakura, Karin, and Riku, but there is also Tsunade, the fifth Hokage, Shizune, Anko, and Kurenai, but they are quite different. Oh, wow. Tsunade is wearing a nurse's cap, white bikini top, with red crosses covering only the front of her massive breast. It's not capitalized, but I feel like I have to do this. Covering only the front of her massive breasts.
Hey,
which
remember
are
when you said
bigger.
That your roommates were yelling at you for being loud first thing in the morning?
I do, which are somewhat bigger than before. Amazingly, white thong around the area in between her legs, whatever that area is, I don't know what it is, I'm just the author, and white high-heeled shoes with red painted fingernails. Shizune is wearing just a black nurse's cap, black thong, and black high-heeled shoes in which her breasts comma, have grown to the size of Hinata's original breasts, are jiggling as she takes each step.
I don't know about some of these micro-kinis.
A black nurse's outfit just doesn't seem like it'd be that
Hold
aesthetic.
Up. Here's my favorite micro-kini picture.
Micro-kini?
I hope it's the American one I saw. Oh, no.
As she takes each step. Anku is just wearing fish. This really is like My Immortal. It's just, most of it is just describing what they're wearing. Anko is just wearing fishnet version of a one-piece bathing and open-toed high-heeled ninja sandals in which her ninja fingers and ninja toenails are violet in ninja color.
Ninja micro-kini right here.
Not even like
ninja, in which her ninja cleavage, which has been expanded to F-cup class breasts, are showing ninja well.
Planet or something? What's going on? Do they have Roddenberries? Is that what's going on?
Well, you know, that's the ninja cleavage.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. Hang on, let me try again. Which has been
extended to... No!
Steve, I need you to look at this picture, please.
David, I'm not
Steve,
looking at
it. Steve, I need you to look at it.
Oh, no!
Steve, I need you to look at it.
Okay,
isn't it terrifying?
It will be posted on the Facebook and everything.
Is the one on the left Tyrion Lannister?
The one on the left is like dying or melting.
Well, you know, I'm a little more worried about the fact that it looks like she has rickets in her leg.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she definitely needs to have one of those like weird shaped boots.
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna have nightmares about micro-kinis and rickets. Okay, I guess I get to finish this off. And finally, Kurenai, she is wearing a rose-red version of Hinata's harem dancer outfit, and without the top to show that her breasts are now as large as Tsunade's breasts were before they were expanded themselves.
God, just say their sizes. Just say sizes for all of them. That works better.
No, this is like one of those word problems in math where you have to figure out from the description who's got the largest and who's got the smallest.
I can't perform this operation. This person has breasts as big as I do. Also, they're my son.
Yep.
All of the girls in front are also wearing golden collars with the Uzumaki insignia, the orange whirlpool in the center around their necks as well. Naruto asks Karen slyly, "So, what do you want to show me today, Karen?"
By the way, Karen is a member of the Uzumaki clan, so also putting incest in this.
Karen tells Naruto with a giggle, "It's a special surprise, Naruto-sama."
Special?
Yes.
Special.
It's a special surprise.
Shizune tells Naruto with a seductive tone, "Naruto-sama, aren't you supposed to have a special checkup with Tsunade-sama, Sakura-chan, and me?"
Ow.
That fucking hurt. Naruto tells Shizune with a foxy grin, "Don't worry, Shizune-chan, I won't forget it. Believe it." Anko tells Naruto enticingly, "What about my punishment, Naruto-sama?" Naruto tells Anko slyly, "I'll get to that, and you will beg me for more when I'm done, Anko-chan." Stop saying things, people! Please!
You can't.
Anko says, licking her lips, "Again, Naruto."
It's like a fucking dog.
Naruto tells Hinata and Kurenai, "Kurenai-chan, I loved yours and Hinata-chan's performance."
You didn't need to tell us who he was talking to. We could have inferred that.
Kurenai tells Naruto slyly and seductively.
Whoa. Oh, damn.
Whoa.
"Thank you, Naruto-sama. I'm glad that you have..." It sounds like an old person now.
You sound like one of the villain characters from Naruto.
I sound like that tiny girl with rickets.
They did get that grandma, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
"I'm glad that you will help me raise my..."
For people confused, the granny character like has a... ability active all the time that makes her look like she's
confused.
In her mid-20s.
No one is confused.
And I'm
some people might be
to join your clan.
I didn't know that, but
as your loyal
now you do.
Wife and concubine. Soon enough, all of them have arrived, and they open the door in which they enter the room.
The harem have started to move.
There were two people there waiting for them, and both of them were female. Surprise, surprise.
Of course they fucking...
The first female is the fifth Mizukage, Mei Terumi, wearing the same collar around the other brainwashed girls already in Naruto's harem. Just
why is that in quotes?
Just a blue...
It's not up for debate.
Microkini top covering just her breast nipples... And blue throng.
That's a waste of
cream. Which are the what other nipples does she have? What other nipples does she have that aren't being covered?
Okay, you know, I think breast nipples is that's the name of tonight's show. It's breast nipples and blue throng.
In which breast nipples?
Yeah, in which?
Yeah.
And black open-toed high-heeled ninja sandals exposing her blue ninja-colored toenails and ninja fingernails. The second female looks to be pink feline creature with golden eyes, red-colored lips, pink long wild hair, pink-colored body, black foundation, black eyeliner, black lipstick, make all the pages black, I don't want to read this shit anymore, with the same golden collar around her neck as the other females in the room, because they all had no sense of differentiation in style. The second female had a line connecting her collar to the handle held by the fifth Mizukage herself, and she says seductively, "I'm glad that you are here, Naruto-sama! Your name is Terra, and she is a very unique and lovely entity!"
So this just turned into a furry thing.
The female creatures, yeah.
This was originally posted to DeviantArt for reference.
I am not surprised.
The female creature says, purring enticingly, "I hope that..." let me see if I can do this. I'm going to try.
Wait. Are you going for...
Terra from FF6.
No, I was thinking Louis Armstrong here.
That's sort of what it is, because that's the mouth vibrations that have to happen.
I hope that we can get to know each other better. Well, my new master.
I'm impressed.
This sounds like Fat Albert more than Louis Armstrong.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. Look at my big old breast nipples.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Totally.
Naruto replies to Terra, licking his lips.
I think that we can get it on
Terra-chan. As Naruto prepares to get acquainted with his newest concubine, the dimensional traveling device that brought him the Hypno Ray, and the Hypno Ray is going to make his life better than before.
Fucking, what did you read this when you wrote it at all? What were you looking at? How are you good enough to, like, evidently type without needing to look at the, you know.
Is the end of my hypnosis contest entry, and I hope that you like it. Please read and review to tell me what you think, everyone. Later, and best wishes, crossover fans.
Breast nipples!
That was just as bad as Fuda Hard, in spite of having actually no sex whatsoever. Like, it just had a bit of, like, sexy outfit descriptions.
Well, it was pretty obvious that this guy has never had sex. Ever.
That is true.
When I first read the words Terra, I did first go to Teen Titans before FF6.
All right, you know what, Andrew, you get to read this last fan fiction all by yourself.
Me?
It's short and sweet and short sweet and breast nipples. I'm gonna get a tattoo of breast nipples.
All right, I'm sort of familiar with Ranma, so here we go. Dating Season by H.K. Miller. Original source, RioCities.com.
Don't worry. Skip
past it. All right. A Ranma half Warner Brothers fusion spam fic.
Oh, spam.
Oh, my God. All right, seriously?
Oh, no!
Also, this was written apparently on the 13th of April, 1999.
Oh, historic
this,
here. All right.
Holy crap, this fic is almost of consenting age. It's 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
That is consenting age in Australia.
And Canada.
And New Jersey.
And definitely Japan.
Yeah. All right.
That wascally Wanma
Elmer Kuno, a bald boy with a very large round head, dressed in a hakama and carrying a boken, strides determinedly through a high school playing field. I shall free my wolves from his foul embrace.
Wow. It's like Homestar Runner got amped up to 11.
Yeah, all right. Ranma, in boy form, walks up behind Kuno, who is looking around bewilderedly. Ranma gnaws on the end of one of his school pencils.
Yeah. What's up, senpai?
Kuno continues to peer around, shading his eyes with his hands as he speaks.
I'm hunting Ranma. And what you gonna do when you catch Ranma? I will quash him and free the pigtail girl and Akane Tendo. Then the three of us will go on a date. Splash!
Akane, now holding an empty bucket, smirks at girl Ranma.
Why, look, if it isn't the pigtail girl now. Senpai, I think it's her turn for a date.
Akane sticks her tongue out at Ranma, then whispers,
pervert!
As Kuno turns, bouquet of red roses in hand, Ranma bats her eyes at him.
Senpai, it's really not my turn. It's Akane's turn, I'm sure.
Ranma hisses to Akane under her breath. You are so uncute. As he deftly turns the bouquet to point in Akane's direction. Akane stomps forward.
Pervert!
She shoves the bouquet point back at Ranma. Uncute! Ranma points the bouquet back at Akane.
Pervert. Oh my god.
Akane reciprocates and then plants her fists on her hips.
Pervert!
This is so high school.
Yeah. Ranma points the bouquet halfway towards Akane, then returns it so it points to herself. Uncute! Date the uncute one! Akane shouts in triumph, grabbing the bouquet. Accordingly, Elmer Kuno links arms with Akane, a silly smile appearing on his face, and starts to escort Akane off the field. Akane, furious, punts Kuro into the sunset and storms back to Ranma, who is standing there smirking and chewing on
I'm blasting off again!
Ding! Let's try that again. Akane gets out between gritted teeth.
You want to say like Daffy Duck, because that's obviously what they're going for. Let's try that again.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay, I'm missing some of the references, but yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, like that whole bit was the rabbit season, duck season bit.
Yeah.
My wolves, please don't argue.
Elmer Kuno is man enough for both. Oh, Elmer Kuno is man enough for both of you. Elmer Kuno embraces both Ranma and Akane.
Ah, hentai!
The two fists dispatch Kuno to the horizon. Ranma nibbles on the end of her pencil as she watches Elmer Kuno disappear into the sunset.
Yeah, why does he want to go on a date with an uncute tomboy like Akane anyway?
Akane spits out,
Ranma, you're despicable.
The end.
Yeah.
Anymore.
No, we're done. We started 5 minutes late, ended 2 minutes early. Not too shabby.
Oh, that's efficiency.
That is a lot of efficiency. So thank you to Oandia, our special guest for the night, and our normal regular readers, David, Logan, Roy, Referee, Val, Warner Brothers, Ranma, Dragon Ball Z, and Frank.
Nothing.
Microkinis.
This episode brought to you by Microkinis, helping your gag reflex stay active since whenever the hell this episode gets posted.
Helping to cover breast nipples since 1842.
Now I just need to find a picture of Fat Albert in a microkini.
I will give it a week, and we'll probably have one.
Yeah, okay, fine. Issuing a listener challenge to give us an image of Fat Albert in a microkini.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.